ordinance for House Bill 2477, the dash threes. What it does is it sets the Oregon child credit amount equal to 20% of the amount allowed for the federal tax credit under Internal Revenue Code, Section 24.
Okay, that gets at what the sponsor expressed as being her intent what we thought might have been done with the dash twos or whatever that previous iteration.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I think this takes care of it.
Any discussion about this? Chair would move the dash three amendments to House Bill 2477. Is there any discussion, any objection? Okay. Chair would move House Bill 2477 as amended to the floor and that the bill, without recommendation, and the bill be referred to Ways and Means. Okay. Any discussion on that? Please call the roll.
Representative Bay.
Excused.
Staff.
Aye.
Brown.
Excused.
Staff.
Aye.
Williams.
But come back to him.
Yeah.
Excused.
Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Tabori.
Aye.
Chair Shatterly.
Aye.
Representative Williams.
Representative Williams votes.
Aye.
Okay, motion fails 1-2.
Move for immediate reconsideration.
Okay. House Bill 2477 goes without recommendation to the floor through Ways and Means, and that will dispose of that. Let me open then a work session on House Bill 3433. Dick, is that you?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair.
Good afternoon. I want to apologize to the committee for not giving Dick the opportunity to go through the section-by-section analysis of the real estate transfer tax bill yesterday before we got into our two-and-a-half-hour hearing. He offered to at the end, but since I was the only one left in the room.
He could have done it. We wouldn't have minded.
They didn't let you.
Go ahead.
We heard this bill previously, House Bill 3433. As in its original form, it continues the 10-cent temporary tax, making that permanent, removing the sunset, but also raises the tax by essentially 5 cents a pack, 2.5 mils per cigarette. The 10 cents would continue to fund the Oregon Health Plan, and the additional money would be split with 30% going to partially fund the Oregon Project Independence, 40% going to Oregon Medicaid reimbursement for skilled nursing facilities, and 30% to fund Oregon Medicaid reimbursement for community-based long-term care facilities. The 40% going to the Oregon Medicaid reimbursement is dependent upon a rebasing of those rates. Otherwise, it would just remain undedicated general fund revenue. You also have before you a dash two amendment, which takes the nickel out, continues the current temporary tax indefinitely, makes it permanent tax. And those are the dash two amendments.
Those are all scribbling here. Representative Williams, you had some questions about smuggling and the impacts of tax and revenue. As I understand, we have someone from the Department of Revenue?
Yes.
Okay. He looks familiar.
Chair Shatterly, members of the committee, Deborah Buchanan, Department of Revenue, and with me is Bob Alexander, who is the program manager for the cigarette tax program in the business division.
Please go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I understand the question is, when you raise the cigarette tax rate do you increase the smuggling and the tax evasion that is involved in around the cigarette program? In a nutshell, yes. Anytime you raise a tax rate, you increase the opportunity and the stimulus to evade the tax. We have some analytical evidence and a lot of history evidence from other states that this is a very real impact. New York, Michigan, New Jersey, and to a lesser extent Washington, all in the recent past have passed fairly significant increases. New York went from $5.60 a pack to $11.10 a pack, so that's really... and using...
Curtain, is this a curtain?
I'm... no. No, that's a pack. The state tax in New York on a pack of cigarettes... I'm sorry, you're right. It's a carton. Okay. It's $11.10. Excuse me. I'm used to hearing my...
We'll go into the smuggling.
Yeah.
At that rate.
I'm used to...
We'll fund the budget.
Yeah, I'm used to hearing my peers in New York cry about it, so that's... It's expensive to smoke in the state of New York and pay the tax. Whatever this goes on in a state, there's a stimulus to go outside the law, to make money, to go into the business of not paying your taxes. In the 1970s, a committee that was established by Congress, the Advisory Committee on Intergovernmental Relations, and the only contribution I know of that they made is they defined a flashpoint in cigarette taxation. And what flashpoint is that point where it becomes economically viable for a person to go into the business of selling cigarettes without paying the tax. That flashpoint number is revised every year or so by an organization. And most recently, for 1999, it's $3.56 a carton. That's the point where it becomes attractive to a person to break the law. Now, that's a nationwide number. They do this nationally. There's other in factors that you have to look at. First of all is risk of discovery. That varies from state to state. Social acceptance of tax evasion, that varies from state to state, and availability of the untaxed cigarettes, that varies from state to state. So to say it's $3.56 in Oregon is probably stretching it, but it's in the neighborhood of $3.56. Now, Oregon's tax on a carton of cigarettes is $6.80 today, so you know we're beyond that. So I guess to draw it up short and sweet, Oregon's tax rate is already beyond what's considered the flashpoint nationally. And experience has taught us historically from other states that when you have sudden large increases in the tax rate, you're going to have sudden and large impacts on compliance. More people are going to start not trying to pay their tax.
All right. Thank you very much. Does that answer your questions?
It does, actually.
We're going to be on the cigarette flashpoint. All right. Mr. Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Do you have any idea how much revenue we're currently losing because of cigarettes that are being bought outside of the state that are not being subjected to the Oregon tax?
Mr. Chair, Representative Witt, we think it's in the neighborhood of about $9.4 million a year. We just completed looking at that. In the last 4 years, it's been stair-stepping downward. It drops about $9 to $10 million a year over the previous year in stamp sales. So it's a significant problem and it's growing.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
So I understand we're currently losing $9.4 million in revenue that we would be getting if everybody was buying cigarettes in compliance with Oregon law.
That's our estimate.
Okay, and what is the current revenue that we're generating off this tax?
About this year it looks like it'll be around $155 million. Last year it was $164 million. And you can just add between $9 and $10 million as you go back to 1997 when we had the increase. That's what it is.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm missing something here. It sounds like our revenue's dropping $9 million a year.
That's correct.
And my question is, in terms of what revenue are we losing, if today, in the year 2001,
okay,
if everybody was buying their cigarettes in-state in compliance with the law and paying the tax, what would the revenue be instead of $155 million?
It wouldn't be the whole $9 million. The $9 million doesn't account for that whole difference, I assume. Some of that's got to be decline in...
No, I think, Mr. Chairman, he made the point that revenue is dropping $9 million per year.
That's right.
It sounds to me that the revenue we're losing is a whole lot more than $9
million. I see.
Yes, it is, and I'd have to do some math here, but it's around, going back to 1997 when we had the increase, between 97 and next biennium, it would be around $100 million. But I could check that and make sure, per biennium.
Okay.
Yeah, could I get back to you on that and be more precise? Because what we've been doing is tracking it from the previous year to the current year. I can get you some very precise numbers on that.
Mr. Chairman, I think that assumes 100% compliance when you started tracking it, and it probably wasn't 100% compliance.
That's correct.
I mean, I think it'd be interesting for the committee to have some kind of at least informed information as to, yeah, we're bringing in $155 million. And how much more would we be bringing in if everybody was buying cigarettes in compliance with our laws? And what is causing this shortfall? It sounds to me it could be $50, $60, $70 million.
We worked a couple bills earlier this session that dealt with enforcement, and that was designed, I think, wasn't it, to beef up enforcement and to get at the non-compliance issue. Could you refresh us, I guess, as to what we did there?
There's two bills that you've seen, and I think hopefully there's another bill that you will see. One bill was specifically for the other tobacco products that are not cigarettes, dealing with the statute of limitations and bringing that in conformance with the statute of limitations on income tax-based programs. The other bill was to increase the responsibility for reporting for people who are unlicensed distributors but have cigarettes in Oregon. And that was aimed as a tracking measure to know when we have cigarettes stored in Oregon that are supposedly not going to be used in Oregon, but we want to know what happens to them. And the third one is a bill to redo the civil and criminal penalties associated with that. And that's primarily because the program has not had this problem for quite a while, and we needed to redo the penalties.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'd just be interested, if you're going to go back and do those numbers, I'd be interested to know what you think the increase proposed in this bill would generate in additional avoidance of the tax. Do you have a ratio where you assume that if we raise it by a penny a carton or a penny a pack, how much additional revenue we're going to lose as a result of avoidance?
Mr. Chair, Representative Williams, no, we don't. We've had one increase in 1997 in the last decade, so it's not a real high on our list to look at. But I did talk to our staff person before I came over and said we need to start looking at that. So we can give it a shot. I don't know how accurate it will be. And probably what we will do is we'll talk with Washington and California, who have more frequent increases, and I would suspect they have some numbers.
Yeah, I was going to say some other states might have some idea about what some sort of a ratio that they've proven out a little bit. Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Let me just suggest that before we do that, I think then we're done with your testimony. Thank you. Richard Kosasan, did you want to talk to us about the dash ones? I think those were not in front of us last time. And Joan, if you've got some copies, let's go ahead. There were dash ones prepared that were not distributed to you, so let's take a look at those. And
thank you, Mr. Chair. Richard Kosasan, Brown & Williamson Tobacco Corporation. The dash one amendments, if I have not seen them. I think they are intended specifically to extend the sunset from January 1, 2002 for a period of 24 months, 2 years. And again, I think during this first series of hearings on this bill, anyway, it was brought up fairly clearly that in 1993, when this 10-cent surcharge started, it was at that time expected to be a one-time surcharge. It was, quote, at that time indicated as bridge financing to assist the health plan, specifically for a period of 2 years. Recognizing that in today's economy, this tax might not go away, it would... We would argue that it at least should be continued for a period of 2 years and have that debate 2 years from now in terms of the sunset and the continuation.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Is Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kosasin, do you have any information as to the amount of taxes that are being avoided in Oregon by purchase of cigarettes on the Internet, mail order, or out of state? And what that's costing the state in terms of revenues?
Mr. Chair and Representative Witt, if one were to take a look at just the revenue numbers in terms of the state revenue stream from the cigarette tax, in 1997-98 it was approximately $199 million. In 99-2000 it was down to $163.9 million, projected to be at about $147 million in 2001-2002 and down again in 2002-2003. In essence, if you take a hard look at those numbers, I think what you would find is the revenue stream has decreased about 17% over a period, 17 to 18% over a four-year period, and consumption has not similarly decreased. Consumption in the state, according to the numbers that we have experienced, is relatively stable.
Okay. Thank you very much. Committee, I'll tell you this, the chair's inclination not to do two things. One, to not sunset the cigarette surtax, and also to not increase the tax by 5 cents. Apart from that, we have the two amendments. One would be a two-year extension of the sunset, and one would be an elimination of the sunset. And I will, this has come a shock to those who have a jaded view of the legislative process, but the chair does not have this bill wired with the committee, and I appreciate committee discussion as to what your inclination would be. I'll say it again for the record, as you know, my inclination would be to eliminate the sunset. I think that the every two-year extension of the sunset is a charade. It causes disruption in the budgeting process where the governor has to identify core programs, including CHIP and what have you, that he will fund if the cigarette tax is extended, and so we all go through those motions, and I think we will every 2 years. Now, some may argue that's worth the exercise. I'm not sure that it is, that it really advances the budgeting process. My preference would be to acknowledge what is the reality of this, that this tax is never going to go away, and go ahead and amend it, amend out that sunset, and just be done with this every two-year thrashing about over the 10-cent surtax. But
that's the dash three.
That's the dash three. Representative Witt, you had a comment. Dash two, sorry.
I do, Mr. Chairman. Is it out of order to move an amendment at the same time?
No.
Okay, I'd like to move the dash ones,
okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
The reason being, really two significant reasons. Number one, when this tax was initially passed, and I think that was back in 93, thank you, Paul, back in 93, I wasn't here, of course, but talking to people who were involved in the process at the time, this was a temporary tax, and the industry did not oppose the tax with the understanding that it was a temporary tax. The industry has not opposed extensions of that sunset, at least they didn't in 99, and they're not doing it again today. But I think they rightfully do have a concern that this was passed as a temporary tax, and yet there's always efforts to totally remove the sunset. Second reason, which I think is probably a more significant reason, is that we have a serious problem with compliance with this law. And with internet sales of cigarettes, which are becoming more and more prevalent, it's not just happening in Oregon, it's happening in many states around the country, we have a significant declining revenue stream. And I think it's important the legislature is automatically reviewing that every biennium and asks for and gets hard numbers in terms of what's happening to these taxes and how much compliance we have. Because the revenue, this body, the legislature may want to at some point examine that more carefully and recognize the fact potentially that these higher taxes are causing less revenue to come in and causing more noncompliance. So I'm willing to support allowing the tax to continue. I think that makes sense. I think we certainly have budgetary needs for it, the Oregon Health Plan. But I think the 2003 legislature should come back and look at the revenue impact from this tax and make the decision if it wants the tax to continue for another biennium at that point in time.
Other comments? Representative Hess.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with your point that every 2 years this comes up and it is a discussion about, as you put it, and I think the dash twos do represent a compromise where not everybody may feel good about it, but it's some common ground. So I'll oppose this one, and I do support the dash twos.
Anybody else? Representative Carlson.
Well, Mr. Chair, I was supporting the dash twos, so if we can't get as far as the dash twos, I'd be willing to support the dash ones, but it's problematic for me voting on the, because does that mean that they're dead if we vote them down and we can't bring them back?
Unless somebody moves to reconsider, my inclination would be to have a vote on the dash ones and go to the dash twos and see where we are.
Okay. Well, I'll be opposing the dash ones. Okay.
Dick, just take two-thirds on the floor. Either to do either, to extend or to eliminate?
You don't want to do
find the bill here.
Three-fifths.
Mm-hmm. Does not say that it requires... Yes, it does. It requires three-fifths.
On the floor. That doesn't affect committee vote.
No.
Okay. I was just asked if you're going to vote no on the dash ones. I hope you'll vote yes on the dash two, so we don't end up losing all of them. There goes the sunset.
Can't fire it.
this is instructive. This is good. This is how the legislative process ought to work. I will just, in response to your comments, Representative Witt, I think in terms of the revenue issue and non-compliant evasion, I guess, I think you made a good case last session. I know you're making another case this session on cigar tax in terms of how far out we are there. I'm not so sure that we're there in the cigarette tax. Maybe we're beyond the flashpoint, but in relative terms, certainly compared to Washington and California, we're not there. And I haven't seen hordes of cigarettes pouring over the Snake River into Ontario. They may be, but I think in relative terms, the cigarette tax is well within the margin, and we need to address that just on enforcement to make sure we're getting the numbers there. Yes, Representative Hess.
Well, regardless of which way we go on this, this certainly doesn't.
That's true.
Sure enough.
True. Good point. Okay, he's leaving. We'll vote. Let's do. Harvey, you just hang on a second here. Let's get through these votes. Then if there's no further discussion, let's take a roll call vote on the dash one amendments. Again, this would be to extend the sunset, not eliminate, but extend the sunset to 2004. And this amendment does, as does the dash two amendment, eliminate the 5-cent increase in the original bill. So, please call the roll.
Representative Bay.
Excused.
Staff.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Taft.
No.
Williams.
No.
Swift.
Aye.
Vice Chair Carlson.
No.
Kefouri.
Aye.
Wait a second, I lost track.
Chair Shatterwood.
Where are we?
You're in good shape.
Four ayes. Three ayes, four nays.
Three ayes, four nays. Chair votes no. So the motion to move the dash one amendments of the bill fails. Chair, move the dash two amendments to House Bill 3433. Is there any discussion on that? I think we've probably already talked about that. Anybody else want to talk about that? Okay, please call the roll.
Representative Bay.
Still excused.
Stack is aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Taft.
Aye.
Williams.
Aye.
Leah.
No.
Vice Chair Carlson?
Aye.
Satori?
Aye.
Chair Schumer?
Aye. So the dash two amendments now are in House Bill 3433. Can we do that?
I believe, Mr. Chair, the reason that the bill was referred subsequently to Ways and Means was to deal with these other appropriations which you've removed from the bill.
Okay.
I see no reason for it to go there now. It's okay. Just an extension in the sense of, or a permanent.
Then the chair would move House Bill 3433 as amended by the dash two amendments to the floor without referral to Ways and Means and a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on that motion? Okay. Please call the roll.
Representative Spang?
Excused?
Yeah.
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Taft?
Aye.
Williams?
Aye.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Excused.
Vice Chair Carlson?
Aye.
Safari?
Aye.
Chair Shatterly?
Aye. House Bill 3433, as amended, goes to the floor with a do pass recommendation without referral to Ways and Means. Is there a carrier? If you want that, Representative Carlson will carry House Bill 3433. Thank you, everybody. Good work. No hurt feelings, except for Representative Witt Don. Okay. We're just getting into our urban renewal review.
I know.
You're
5 minutes.
5 minutes?
No, I just had to leave.
Do you have somewhere to go?
We all have things. People with something.
No, I'll stay.
I'd be happy to. Okay, we will
recess.
We will recess for 5 minutes and then come back and finish the hour with urban renewal. 5 minutes, and then we'll gavel back.